Okie dokie out there. What is up, everybody? How's it going? Welcome to a fresh daytime stream of Call Me Ignorant. Hope life is good out there. We are having Ryan from The Last American Vagabond on in about 15 minutes or so. I have sent the Zoom link over to Ryan. Very excited to be talking to him. And he got his channel just nuked off of YouTube, which is no bueno, papi. Big fan of this guy's work, and big fan of anyone that specializes kind of in, like, I don't know what to call it, conspiracy foreign relations. I mean, it says here, independent media question everything. You never know when someone's going to, you know, appreciate the term conspiracy or not. I certainly like it, but, you know, just counter narrative. I know someone mentioned that he had been on the Corbett Report before. So what we're going to do, I have a new idea for when I have guests on. You know, I've done about 60 or 70 interviews so far, and usually what I will do is I will send them the link ahead of time, and then we'll talk for a second off air, and then we'll go live. But what we're going to do in this case, you know, we've done this a couple times. We did it last night with Alex Stein. We're going to get them live while I'm already streaming, because I want to ask you guys about what you want to talk about while before they get on air. As the regulars know, I don't really do gotcha show type stuff. Like, even with people that I would be antagonistic with or would just disagree on a lot with, I don't really go after their viewpoints too much from an antagonistic perspective. But it seems like me and Last American Vagabond are going to agree on a lot. And I'm not even here to even give my viewpoint. I'm just here to learn about, you know, what he got, the reason he got nuked, what he's doing going forward. And I always want to get the people's story. So that's the part that I'm really, really interested in. So if anyone in the live chat wants to tell me or their opinion on what we should ask about, but this is the video that he got deleted for. Well, here's an article on it. Oh, he has it embedded in. Let's watch a second of this. It's embedded on BitChute. Let's see. Huh. So over on BitChute is the full video. It's a 3-hour video. Let's go over to this. You guys can see what I'm looking at, right? Let me slow it down. My hyper ass was listening to it on double speed.
Sometimes they do include it here and there when they really want to make a point. But ask yourself how they can even do this without letting you know what was violated. Of course, when they then go, oh, here, go ahead and apply in this 800-character box, appeal to why you violated. Oh, but we won't tell you how you violated it. We'll let you guess at this 30-minute video where in there something was said that we disagree with, whether it's even borderline or actually violating the rules, right? Because remember, those both apply today. We won't even actually violate the rules. We just don't like it enough to say, nope, we're going to remove it. Now, we don't even know where in that nebulous kind of foggy
This video is before his channel got deleted.
Things we're not supposed to do.
So he was given a couple, you know what they do. They give you the warning. They give and then three strikes. And I think it's a warning and then three strikes. You're out on the fourth, I believe. I don't think he was given strikes.
Surely hitting on.
We'll
so we don't have
it.
Anything to appeal to, and they know this. It is the illusion of a process. These people are authoritarian control mongers. They do not want you to be able to make any choices.
Preach.
They want other people that don't have any game, any, what's the analogy? Any stake in this game, I believe, to look at us and go, oh, they're conspiracy theorists. YouTube wouldn't do that because they don't know anything that's going on in this sphere because they're not here. This is what it looks like. Right. Remember, here it is. No justification. No telling you why. It just says the violates our guidelines. You know, there are numerous pages of all these multifaceted guidelines that who knows. So you go in and here's what it says. Before you appeal, please review your content. Ensure that it abides by our guidelines. All 32 minutes that we don't even know what part you said was violating what. And of course, here's what I'm going to say, because we all know that these people are a bunch of liars.
They're total liars, man. So this guy seems like a good guy. We corresponded last year. And then 2020 and life got in the way and stuff like that. Hey, what's up, everybody? So The Last American Vagabond at TLA Vagabond over there on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow. Like I said, he's been on Corbett before. And so he's got this COVID thing that's very interesting. So that's I think that's an excerpt from the longer 3-hour stream that's the video that he's reporting on right now. We'll get obviously all of this from the horse's mouth. Mainstream media claims vaccine skeptics merging with extremist and COVID-19 vaccine surveillance Trojan horse. Sweden attacked for getting COVID right. It's interesting. I mean, I don't really believe in like the mainstream virus narrative. You know, I can't really explain it as well as I should be able to. I've just seen more convincing stuff for me on that. Like, but, you know, I'm going to ask him maybe a little bit about that. But, you know, that's one of the maybe it's an intellectual weakness part on my part. You know, it's like maybe my subconscious tricked me into not believing in viruses. So I don't have to look at the numbers and stuff like that. Just playing devil's advocate. But I believe what I believe. As always, fight me if you feel like it. Very unusual time for streaming. Well, I'm on Italian time, Gianco. I'm on Italy time. If I ever came to Italy, I'd get you on the stream, Gianca. We would talk Mussolini. Google and Oracle to monitor. So this is all from thelastamericanvagabond.com. Investigative journalist. There's an independent media. But it's not just him, too. It's a couple other people about us. Pretty cool. Yeah, this guy is completely reasonable. Yeah, that's one of the things I want to ask him about, because he mentioned on a stream that I watched one time, like, that he's made his political viewpoints clear before, but I don't, he didn't say it in that stream. I was like, no, like, I'm new here. What are they? Ryan Christian, Whitney Webb, Derek Broze, no, founder, editor, no. Last American Vagabond was established to allow a free flow of information in regard to current issues that face the world. The focus being on the many such issues that are purposefully and discreetly culled by those who stand to lose either financially or professionally due to their relevance. It is the site's primary objective to bring these issues to an open forum and to bring about awareness of these topics of paramount importance. Sounds like my kind of guy, right? Open discussion. Yeah, but it's, you know, I don't know what to call this. Kind of like Scott, this reminds me of kind of like a Scott Horton type of deal, or a Ryan Dawson. You know, they're just the independent, and they're all non-interventionists, which I am as well. So I don't know what it's independent media, but it's but just the thing is like any smart or you could just call it smart person, someone that wants to get us out of the Middle East. And I haven't read anything so far on this, but I've seen videos about that, like the deception in Syria, all kinds of stuff. But like, you know, non-interventionist just means smart person, in my humble opinion. Let's read the chats. Random Randy says there's a New York Times article August 31st that talked about how when they knew the replication cycles and what type of testing was used, they found a 90% false positive rate. If something is 90% false, you can call that shit fake without being a conspiracy theorist. I know, and it's just a false positive rate. I also hate statistics, so I'm really thankful to people like Random Randy in the chat and other people that are into digging in. Ryan, I'm sure that they do their work on the numbers. I do not, my friend. But I will speak with you about it, and I will listen to smart people. I'll listen to the settled science experts, like a good doggy. Engineering Contagion, UPMC Corona, the Corona Thrax, and the Darkest Winter. The rise of authoritarianism from parasite stress theory to lockstep. This looks interesting. What kind of authoritarianism? Rise of authoritarianism from parasite stress theory to lockstep. Empirical evidence indicates that the spread of pathogens leads popular. Oh, that, like the type with the corona? Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of like one man's gold, other man's trash. I don't know if that, I definitely got the phrase wrong. But, you know, what type of control? We're talking about it with religion earlier. It's like the actual God's control. You know, I think everyone could use a little bit of that, but it doesn't manifest itself that way when the humans try to make plans. Make of the plans. So Ryan is coming on in 5 minutes or so, and he gave us a half hour. Really thankful for that. I want to get his story too, because I was over at this tweet. Let's see if this is him. Yeah. So it says subscribe to the Last American Vagabond on BitChute as well. I'll put these links down below. Where's this retweet? Yeah, here we go. So Team YouTube, sorry to hear about the trouble. If you think it was terminated by mistake, fill out this form and send your appeal to our team. It'll take another look. Let's go over to YouTube, guys. I'm sure it's so vague. unable to access a Google product. It proves that you're not what the relationship you think you are with the creator, you know, the content creator. YouTube is not what you think. It's cattle. It's cattle-esque. Because you're like the product. You are the product. A little bit because of the ads, but I don't know what the whole game is. Like, ideology is product, too. Depleted uranium rounds. I don't even know what that's all about. Are you talking about Uranium One? We're so scandal-saturated. You know, like, there's so many things to talk about. They're like, oh, yeah. That's why the clown pill. Clown pill, greater sign, black pill. If you believe your access to a Google product has been suspended in error for the account noted below, please provide the requested information. It's not the correct account. Try logging in again. Dude, was it your password? Was it your password? So, don't meekly come into the comments acting like you wanted to resolve anything. This is from The Last American Vagabond on Twitter. Not even an email was sent before you removed a decade's work. It has one like. This the Team YouTube one. No one likes it. That's not even how. I'm going to ask him too about what you do about this, because if it's inside of TOS, but the problem is everything is inside of TOS. I can already tell that I like this this setup where we talk about this for 10 minutes or so beforehand. With help from viewers like you, we can ask the right questions. Yeah, I don't know why I like that. I'm trying to like all the ones that are pro Last American Vagabond. It's like a decade's work. That's why I retweeted this just now. What did I write? Yeah, regardless of viewpoint, you should be pissed off at stuff like this. Not even a warning before messing with years of someone's work. It's like, I said this about Vagabond. I said this about Stefan Molyneux. That is 15 years worth of philosophy work. All kinds of stuff. And yeah, you could back it up and it's their property, but it's kind of just not cool, man. It's like, we do have to talk about what the solution is going to be, of course. But like, what about the days when you'd be just like, not cool, bro? Sweet. All right. So it looks like we're almost in process. It's up with the chat. Woodchuck says another study found even up to a 94% false positive rate. Yeah, a minimum of 80% false positive. That's called fake and gay. You know, it's just fake and gay. So that's part of what I mean by it's bullshit. It's like, I don't know I'm not sure of much in this world. My name is Steven Ignoramus. But when something's fake and gay, do you have to figure out at every level and all the details at which something is fake and gay? I say no. But I'm just one white man.
Of manipulators. And I don't mean every single person that possibly ever. For you guys, for having the
question is different. Other thing.
No, there should be nothing off the table but we should consider is happening right now. The point in showing you this is because they're censoring even at this level. The fact that he just said that it's just show that regardless of what the ultimate truth is, they're controlling what's being said. And that's very, very obvious. I mean, there's obvious reasons to question the number of dead, number of cases, number of everything, right? So that should always be a case. And hopefully for those in the chat that are always here, make sure you make that defense when somebody new comes in and goes, why are they talking about the virus? Don't they know Dr. Kaufman? It's fake and, you know, this kind of thing, right? There's so many different discussions being had here. We need to be open to all the different.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. So it looks like Ryan is coming in right now. So Ryan Christian, I think that's how you say his name, with Last American Vagabond. And so investigate independent media. Let's go to it. Independent journalist, Last American Vagabond. Let's see what's going on. Yellow. Hey, 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 hey.
Ryan.
Hey, man. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
We are live right now. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We were just watching a couple of your videos and trying to kind of sleuth into why you got your channel got nuked and things like that. So it was for this video about Sweden. What was it for?
Well, that's the thing is that it's never been there. I could tell you what they've been saying up until this last hammer fell. And that would be this kind of hodgepodge of, first it was impersonation. Like, they claimed I was impersonating myself, which has been this kind of common thread lately, where they can come back and be like, oh, it was a mistake, right? And they just kind of get your videos out of the way.
What?
And they segue to this scam and deceptive practices.
Okay.
They said, oh, no, that was a mistake. And then they finally said, no, that was all mistakes. And it's actually COVID-19 misinformation. And all that took place on like comments on Twitter. So there was no like official discussion. And then this last one came down where it just, I didn't even know. I was sitting in my couch and I get a message and someone said, oh my God, T-Lab's gone. So I come running in and it's completely gone. No email, no notification, no appeal process, just nothing. That's not what an honest entity does, you know? And then on top of that, they locked me. It wasn't just my YouTube channel. They apparently locked me out of, it says like Google platforms. So I can't even log into my backup channel, which is technically still there. And then they also locked me out of Twitter simultaneously that day. It's ridiculous.
Okay. I have so many questions about this. Okay. So like we were just looking at your tweets about it, and they link this, Team YouTube links this link that's, it just goes to the Google page. We were just looking at that. Like, do you need access to your Google accounts? But what, talk more about, I've never heard until right now about them saying people are impersonating themselves.
Oh yeah.
Talk about that. I've never heard of that.
It's really crazy. And this was the biggest, this is what was so, I think what they did when that started, I know of a lot of people that have been saying this as well, on all sides of this discussion, you know, like SGT Report, I understand, was getting a lot of the same thing. And, you know, and they're basically hitting you saying that you're it doesn't say necessarily that you're impersonating yourself, but when you read into, there's only two main things that are under that category. And it's either that you are pretending to be another streamer, or you're dressing your show up to appear to be somebody else, right? And in either case, so they're basically claiming that I'm pretending to be the Last American Vagabond. And I think the play is to be able to get the video out of the way. And it's an easy way to come back in and be like, oh, you know, COVID-19, the algorithm, our bad. Like, we didn't, it was a mistake. And so they just kind of left it hanging open in the air. And, you know, point was, they finally admitted that that was all just BS. And they just kind of pushed it into something else. And I think that's why there's no actual process on this last one. There's no email, because they're so far off the rails in the way that, and I've documented it so well on Twitter and professionally, by the way, which will be probably coming out in the near future. And you can just see that they're being dishonest every step of the way. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a couple shows in the last year. Whenever they would update the TOS, I would just read the, and it's the most vague garbage ever. So it's like, at a certain point, and I've also read a couple books about how to battle this, like when you're under basically like a ideological attack, like how do you handle it as a company, you know, depending on your size and stuff like that. But aren't they actually inside of TOS? Like, aren't people like us kind of shit out of luck if they leave it vague and then just nuke an account? Do you think you have legal recourse?
Yeah. Well, obviously this, in any case, even in a court of law, this would be debatable, right? Yeah, that's the always ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. It's good. There's good and bads to it, but that's our system, right? And so in this case, of course, like if you write your terms of service, I actually argue in a sense that, I mean, it comes down to the entity and who's enforcing them. You know, if you leave it to incredibly vague, that gives them the room to apply it where they will. It's the same way that our politicians work, you know, the Patriot Act, these different things are intentionally wide and broad so they can apply it however they see fit. So when they do that, it's dishonest, but is it illegal? No. But the problem is, once they become essentially a state entity, which is what these entities are, there's no way to deny that anymore. They tried to argue it, but the moment you have these, you know, Atlantic Council-like groups that are deciding what's allowed and what's not, that's a Facebook example, but it's all across the board. Google owning YouTube, and Google is, you know, Google is officially part of Operation Warp Speed, right? And now YouTube is censoring discussions about the vaccines that they're producing. Like, you realize how incredible that conflict of interest is. So when you put all this stuff on the table, what they're doing is illegal, right? And people have actually set precedent so far for class action lawsuits and so on.
Yeah.
They just know that most people don't have the resources to bring that fight to them.
Yeah, or like the will, or just there's an apathy element, or like a keeping your head down type of deal. What's Operation Warp Speed? I might know what it is, but I've never heard that terminology.
So Operation Warp Speed is the program that Donald Trump is initiated in regard to rushing out the vaccines, because we're all going to die soon, right? We're all in danger, so we need to rush this thing out as fast as possible. Not that's good. Never been attempted in this way. That's never successfully been completed. That's a genetically modifying vaccine that hasn't yet been tested on animals. That's been having all these problems. But let's just rush it out. You know, it's dude. Like, anyway, I'm sure I don't know what your opinions are on all this, but that,
pretty anti-vax. I'm definitely anti-rushed vax. I'm anti-mainstream. Yeah,
everybody should be.
Yeah. So like, I'm not, I mean, the big headline that I was covering is just that having the armed forces do it. Now, you know, I've been talking about the growth of the executive power since 9/11, basically, you know, like a couple years after, you know, but it's just not good when the executive can flick a pen. And are you supposed to trust them? I don't know. But I also think so many people in politics just hate each other. So that kind of like, it's kind of mutually assured destruction a little bit. But I had a question about that, because I emailed you last year to get you on because I heard you say something very specific in a stream, and it kind of talks to what we're talking about. You said in a stream when I was new, I was like in your chat, and you said like, I've made my political views very clear on my shows before, and I didn't know what video to reference. So what are your general political views, and like, how do you view authority and politics and power and stuff?
Well, I mean, I'm at a point now where this is, I mean, obviously, I think that we're at a position where this paradigm is broken. I mean, it's fake. I mean, there is 44% of Americans register as independent, and we only get two parties every year. That's just like slapping us in the face, and we don't want to see it. You know, I think my political opinions are simply this, that we don't need to align ourselves with some arbitrary party that they tell us, like, here are your choices. Now pick, and then pretend you're free in there. You know, I have my opinions that align all over the spectrum. When I said that, I meant more so that, you know, the overarching, the body of my work has made it clear, right? There's not like one video that you can see, because the point, this is my exact point, is that if we sat here and went point to point to point in, you know, whether the big talking points of each party or just things that we think are important, I bet you my opinions would be all over the map, in right and left and green or whatever. I mean, and that's the point, is I do not sit down and think, okay, here's a political discussion. Where would my party align? Which is really what most people do, even if they don't realize it. I sit down and I think, okay, what's moral here, right? What should be happening? Who's being abused? Who's benefiting, right? And that half the time seems to be our government. And right, and the problem is that people have been so brainwashed into thinking that it's only one part of the government instead of all of it, which is what it always really is, that we never see any change, that we continue to go, oh, it was the Republicans that wouldn't let it out, Democrats that wouldn't let it happen. And they both point at each other like that scarecrow on, you know, or on what, Wizard of Oz,
exactly.
or even on the Labyrinth. Remember that analogy too, where the guys are like, it's over there, it's over there. I mean, it's the same thing, right? And so that's what they're essentially turning us into, where nothing ever happens. And so long story long, I think my opinion is ultimately that we need to begin to just address every political discussion as, you know, as we come to it, and don't force ourselves into a box, because that's what they ultimately want.
Right. Okay. So a couple questions, because I make that point, and I it's like what to do with it that I am wondering about. Like, so there's many, that's why, I mean, I vote, but I understand the abstaining and feeding the beast argument. I understand that. I also understand the argument that at the end of the day, it's like the box exists, and the way that political change happens is inside of the box, unless you're talking violent revolution or like agorism or some sort of way to like get out of the box. But at the end of the day, the box is there, and there's two parties, and one of them is going to win. And so I get that argument as well. What is the, after that stage in your viewpoint, what do you do with that? Do you not, are you an anarchist? Well, do you secede? Do you?
Right. But let me just stop you, because the problem is that this is where the conversation tends to go. Nobody in my position, I'm not saying, look, I have all the answers or here's what we're trying to build. And I have my opinions on this. I've done entire shows on this, but that in a way takes away from what we're actually discussing, is not trying to disprove things that have yet to even happen. Right. Why? You know, that's what happens. People try to, you lay out your narrative and they go, that would never work. Here's why. And it's like, why are we even in that discussion yet? We all agree that where we are now is a problem. Right. Yeah. Just by, you know, attacking what may come to pass is a way of cementing to stay where we are. You know, so we're in a position. Like, let me address what you first said. Yes, there is a box, obviously, and these operate. And so people think if I don't vote, well, they're going to just do their thing anyway. But we need to realize that you already don't have an effect on that box. That's the point, right? I mean, every single year we see these examples. Princeton did their study where they literally said verbatim, the quote, if I say it correctly, is the average American has a near zero statistically insignificant effect on policy. That's directly from Princeton. And they showed the graph and showed that, so if anything they're trying to pass, this includes congressional legislation, it includes anything, voting on a presidential election, that 30% of the time, we get what we want. If every American in the country wants this to pass, 30% of the time it'll pass. If every American in the country doesn't want it to pass, 30% of the time it'll pass. But if the lobbyists want it to pass, they can make it upwards of 90% of the time. And if none of the lobbyists want it, even if every American in the country wants it, 0%, according to Princeton. How do we not see what that shows us? We Nice. Do not affect policy. And then you can ask yourself about the things like Clint Curtis testifying in front of Congress and saying he was paid to manipulate voting machines and gave all the evidence and said, here's how it's done. Here's what they did. Here's what they accomplished. Then nothing happened. And they used those same voting machines in the very next election. How do you explain something like that? You know, my point is I could go off on these things for hours.
Can you say
of examples of gerrymandering
again?
And all these different tweaks? Well, just one, the last thing is just that the point being is that your vote doesn't have the effect that we think it does. And if that's even possible, we need to realize that they've created a system that is the illusion of a process. So yes, you're stuck in that box and they're choosing who comes out of that box. So if we continue to step up and be like, you know, just throwing our things at this that don't have any effect at it and tell ourselves that we're creating that, they're going to keep playing into the illusion. I think the only thing we can do is try to deviate from that box because we don't have an effect. Yes, if we could affect the vote, then I would get that argument to a degree, probably still disagree with it, but we're not affecting it. So we need to think differently.
The reason I interrupted, I just wanted you to say that guy's name again. What is the, because I want to do a show on that. It's like, so you said,
I believe it was Clint Curtis, I can send you a link afterward.
Yeah, I would love
I believe,
yeah,
I could be remembering it wrong because I think they have it in parentheses, like his nickname is Curtis or something like that. But just type in Clint Curtis election rigging or something and you'll get it. It's an old video, kind of foggy in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Okay. So what do you think, you know, so are you, you know, so the lobbyist thing, so you basically, you've already said you're kind of an issue by issue guy, and that's just smart. That's just smart. Like it's just our monkey brain. That's like, you know, it's like team, but like groups do exist. I mean, a family exists, a town exists, but like, so if it's issue by issue, the lobbyist thing, would you get rid of any lobbyist influence? Do you think that's like a moral to do on a,
It depends on how you mean by that, because look, if we're talking about an individual going up and trying to tell somebody, like, let's say I go up to a politician and I say, hey, this is what I want here. Let me give you money to donate to your campaign. You could argue that's lobbying from an individual level, right? Because you're trying to get him to accomplish something. You're committing money. But the problem is that the way that the structure has become, that it's not legitimate. I mean, we're talking about straight up bribery happening. There are entire organizations that know that they're funding millions and billions of dollars into these campaigns because they want some kickback. And we see it, the revolving door politics, the bills that pass for these people. It's not even an argument. It's very obvious. And they don't even hide it because they argue, well, that's what lobbying is, right? They're lobbying on behalf of constituents. No, they're not. They're lobbying on behalf of corporations and agendas. So the problem is what we need to do is take money out of politics in this regard. And that's just one small facet of this really big problem. But if we stop them from being able to financially influence the direction and just simply, I mean, look, I think it's something like 98% of the time, I might be wrong on the exact percentage, the candidate who spends the most money wins. 98, we just saw that not being the case with Trump, right? But most of the time that happens, which shows you that how much influence is there. I argue the Trump 2016 scenario is not to be considered in that frame because I feel like this whole, so I think from 2016 forward, this has been one massive psychological operation.
Absolutely.
I really
believe
that.
Yeah. Do you think that it was a coup? That's, this has been a coup against Donald Trump?
I don't.
You
don't think I really so? Don't. I mean, well, here's the thing is it's hard to, there's so, if we can pull ourselves outside of the two-party discussion, you could argue that there was some kind of a coup happening in regard to, you know, entities trying to vie for power within the broken power structure. Do you think either one of those were doing for you? I really do not, right? It's about control and doing the same thing forward. But when you talk about the two-party paradigm, I think the whole Trump and all this and the coup, I mean, if they think the coup is that the Democrats are trying to overthrow Trump, they're all doing the same damn things. They're all fighting for the same agendas. They're all bailing out the same companies. I mean, these people are not fighting each other. And I mean, I ultimately think the way this is happening shows us more clear than ever that they want Trump to win. Whoever they, you know, the hierarchy enslaving you, there's the acronym, right? They're the real people in charge. You know, I think they want Trump to win again because it's clearly working, right? It's driving in. You have an entire faction of the argument who is convinced by nothing more than the man's word that everything is going the way he says it is. And that's scary.
I've not heard too many people say this. Like for lack of a better word, like the deep state or like the elite level wants Trump to win. Interesting. Cause most people, I mean, I'm right wing. And most people on the right think that is the fight. Like most people that are kind of like conspiracy right wing, like me, for lack of a better word, think that it's not Democrat versus Republican. It's kind of like deep state versus Trump.
Yeah, I know. And that is just a very clumsy extension of the two-party paradigm. Yeah. That's exactly the same thing, right? I mean, okay. I keep saying this from the very beginning. If Trump comes out and actually accomplishes what he's saying he wants, they keep going, he's done all these things and promises. He really hasn't. And anyone honest can really see that. There's been a lot of equivocation, a lot of kind of segue from different things. And he has done some things, but in the major things we discussed in the beginning, he hasn't accomplished these things. I mean, Clinton's not in jail and on and on and on, right? The point is, if he did end up locking these people up and having tribunals and blah, 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 the whole Q narrative, I would be cheering him from the top of the mountains. I would say, look, this guy did what they said. I was wrong the whole time. Everybody should want that. These are bad people. And if he did that, I think it would at least suggest to me that he's doing the right thing. You see what I mean? But at the same time, we should be questioning whether or not it's happening. We have a decade, centuries of history showing us that we shouldn't be believing him. Look, Biden is just as bad. They're the same thing. I think Trump is just more obvious about what he's accomplishing, right? That's why I said this on the show the other day. If I was forced, gun to my head, and I wasn't allowed to abstain, which we could talk about. You mentioned that a moment ago. I'm actually really passionate about that that it's a real important part of our process. But if I wasn't allowed to, I would probably pick Trump only because I think they're the same evil. Trump's just clumsy at it. He's showing us what he is. The mask is ripped off. He's stealing oil and he's burning wheat fields and he's openly talking about, he's doing exactly what they hide. Right. Like Obama was really good. Obama was also just as bad. He just was much better at, dancing out the illusion. Mm. I think the point is they want us to see this to a certain degree. They're creating this cold divide right now,
Yeah. Someone mentioned this in the chat, so I can't take credit for it. But how do you think the media is truly against Trump, like the liberal media, for lack of a better word?
That's actually a good question, because I think the thing about the media is that we have to remember that there are individuals here, like even amongst the two-party paradigm. Yes. Like I think probably Pelosi, the people probably fucking can't, I don't know if we can cuss on here.
Fine,
these people can't stand Trump. Like, I bet you Trump can't stand Paul. I mean, there's real vitriol here, I believe. But that doesn't mean that they ultimately don't, the same way that they come and vote on a bill that they talk about because, they cross the party lines and they do it for the people. It's the same kind of thing, is that they probably really don't like each other to a certain degree, but they also ultimately continue the same agendas. And in the media discussion, I absolutely think there are people out there that just can't stand the guy, but I do think that I think even from their side of it, they must realize how ridiculous it is, of how much they're going after it, talking about the most inane things that have nothing to do with what's actually happening. They know this. They're not dumb. I think they're actually not very smart, most of them. I really do. I think they're a bunch of talking heads, like a Don Lemon, who we found out wanted to be in entertainment news, and they forced him into news. The guy didn't even want to be there, right? They're actors. Yeah, so the point being, though, is that they must see it. And I think that they still drive into it anyway, because that's the narrative we want. We want the coup on its surface,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's just so complicated, because anytime you're dealing with groups and human action, it's like you can like peer in from a different viewpoint every time. Like there's like levels to, like, you could look in at like the CNN level and say that there's a certain conflict going on. You could look in at like the BitChute my type of conspiracy level, but it's a little subjective, but I get what your point that like there is a certain vested interest in Trump succeeding that isn't just like Trump and the people below him. Like definitely there's like an Israel element to it. There's you know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And that's one thing. That's one part that I don't understand why the right, I guess, in general doesn't address. Like I obviously have, I think it's alarming that Israel's government, of all of them, is so aggressively involved here, because they're openly committing war crimes.
That's creepy,
and no,
man,
that doesn't have to do with anything other than the actions of the Israeli government, right? It's really bad stuff. So, but I don't get why they, I mean, if any government being involved to this degree should be alarming. I mean, because France's government would be like, why the hell is France working on our voting machines? Why is France working with Carbine with our 911 call centers? Why is France using simulations about our election? You know what I mean? Like, it should be alarming that there's any level of that kind of influence, let alone Israel's government. So I don't get why that's not something that's addressed, you know?
I don't know either. I mean, I just got done with my morning stream, and I'm a Christian. I'm on the right, like I said, and like we just did like an hour long discussion on like the state of Christianity, and I think it's really weird. I don't get the mainstream right wing Christian alignment with this Israel. It just doesn't. I don't know.
Most of them are Zionist, right?
Yeah, and that's the point. That's what I mean. Like, why?
That Zionist Christian is an oxymoron. That doesn't make sense. I mean, and that's the point. Is someone like Pompeo? Or even Pence, these people are like openly Zionist Christian. And that means, I mean, if you actually look into Zionism, and this isn't racist at all, it's stated discussions of Zionism, that's very clear that there's obvious contrasts and contradictions in regard to what you would think Christian beliefs are. And there's an issue there, you know?
Dude, 100%. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's definitely a big part of the thing. And you can't, you know, that's where you can know what to do if you just look at what you can't talk about. I mean, it's tried and true statement, and it's like anti-Semitic tropes behind it, but I don't care. That's some truth right there. If you
that is a lazy argument to be like, oh, it's a trope about this. Like, look, did I say that? You can't. This is what the mainstream media is doing today too, with like COVID-19 and whatever else. They say, well, here's what he really meant. It's like, well, look, you can argue that if you want, but you can't say as a fact that I didn't say it, right? And that's not even, and truthfully, I didn't mean that, right? I say the same thing about the, sorry to deviate into the COVID-19, but this is a great example, the box of masks, right? Whether or not you even agree with it, whatever. A guy simply posted a picture of a box of masks on the side of the box that says, this will not protect you from COVID-19 or any other virus, period, right? All he did was post the picture, and then put in parentheses exactly what it said. They deleted that for being misleading. Can you believe that? And because they said that the intention was to mislead you, he literally posted exactly what the box says. I mean, we're in a clown world. I mean, that's incredible to me.
This is like, it's straight up clown world, Orwellian. It's beyond, like, just copying and pasting. You know, they've done that stuff with, you know, they switch out the word white for the word black, and they'll just, you know, they'll copy a Twitter thread, basically, and they'll get marked for hate speech just because.
I've seen that.
Let's actually spend our last 10 minutes or so going back to COVID. So what's your, you know, this is, you know, I've said it on my streams last couple days, like, every one of these stories in another year would be the biggest story like of the year for sure. But like, what's your take on COVID? There's some people that think that, you know, COVID's fake. Viruses are fake in general. There's terrain theory, germ theory. There's that it's overblown, that there's the false positive thing. There's, you know, I'm not going to even give my take. There's just, but what I've said, it's like a multi-layered hoax scheme where there's disputable stuff with every layer. So what's your take on the whole thing and what's going on?
Well, at first, I just want to add before I forget that about all the stuff we were talking about before, like I hope it's implicit within my discussion that I could clearly be wrong about all the stuff I was saying, right? Like, that's my opinion, and I would never state it as absolute fact. Like, I hope I'm wrong in a lot of ways because I want to see the good happen. But on COVID-19, you're totally right. And that's the best way to see this. I keep drilling that in. I mean, literally every single level. I mean, at every single point, the testing, the lockdowns, the opening, the World Health, I mean, every part of it, there is, I mean, overwhelming examples of why we should go, like, really? Like, did that just happen? Like, that's questionable, you know? And so I think the first thing we need to realize is I almost kind of play into this because I love how, in some cases, I love how quick people are on Twitter to, like, jump in and assume you're trying to make a certain point, even though you're not. And I'll put out, like, hashtag COVID illusion, you know? First, I should say, my general opinion, and I think just like the idea that science is never settled is that, you know, as this evolves, I'm continuing to evolve my opinion. And I think nobody really knows absolutely. For instance, I interviewed Dr. Kaufman on my show, and I'm very interested in the discussion about the possibility that we just completely don't understand germs in general or the theory around it. And that's something we should look into, but I'm not as intelligent in that field as he is. So I have it in my mind. I consider it with every discussion, but I don't know yet, you know? But I think where I settled at the moment is I feel like there's definitely something happening, but it's obviously not what we're being told, right? So even at that level where there's something, you can call that an illusion because they're lying to you about it. They're manipulating how serious it is. They're lying about the cases, you know, so that is an illusion. But the funny part is people jump on and they'll be like, are you saying it's fake? oh, you're fake news, you know, and it's like they just can't wait to jump on you about it. And the point is, we need to see that this is definitely illusion. I mean, you could even use the word hoax if you really wanted to, because they're making these things up to a certain degree. But again, that just feeds into the buzzwords they want you to use, yeah. You know?
It's one of the most common things I talk about on my show that links everything together is like just like your trigger words. Like you have these words, Nazi, white supremacist, COVID hoax, Trump, Hillary, Democratic, you know, just anything you could just pro-life, pro-choice, you know, like, and right. So I kind of just got your answer. So it's like someone's in an elevator with you and they're like, what do you think about COVID? I just respect your opinion. The word is illusion. Like that's a good
yeah, word. It's a good word yeah. for it. Well, because really, like you said, I mean, you and I could right now walk down every point and I could give you all, I mean, every part of it. The test yes. is a good example. I mean, the New York Times even reported this. Not that that means that it's real because the New York Times reported it, but it shows you that there's more mass adoption, that upwards of 90% of the time, these tests can be false positive. In other places, if it said 30%, whatever, there's a huge caveat out there. So all of these cases, why are they still breathlessly reporting this when we know that there's at least a possibility of a very huge false positive, right? I mean, in every level of this, that's considered an illusion, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. They're hyping this up. The CDC has continued to say that the numbers have continued to decline week after week, right? Yeah. The deaths, the hospitalizations, and yet they're still increasing lockdowns. They're still forcing you to wear masks. Masks are another discussion, right? Yeah. I was like dying on that hill for a while with that discussion because it's incredible to me how many scientific studies we can show in random controlled trials. And I mean, it's really coming out now when you got entire elements in Sweden, entire government organizations and entire institutions coming out and saying that this is just ridiculous, that we've always known that masks are not about reducing transmission at all. And this is all of a sudden become this thing in this new era. And it's crazy. Every study you'll find says it's not statistically significant in reducing transmission. Every single one of them, until they suddenly said, let's gather them together and come to a different conclusion in the middle of COVID, you know?
And that is some, you know, going back to like the mainstream box or whatever, it's become a mainstream partisan culture war bargaining chip, basically, these masks. Yeah. And like, you can bet with ease that, like, if someone's like going to be a conservative Trump person, if they refuse to wear a mask, and if they make you wear a mask, it's a liberal thing in general. So I have a question. Someone in the chat says, have you heard of Stefan Lanka before? Dr. Stefan Lanka? Kaufman and them, they I don't know if they piggyback on his work, but they all know each other. And they said, he just proved in a German Supreme Court that measles virus is fake, that you should look into Stefan Lanka's work. I don't know if that.
Okay, I definitely will.
I don't know. I can email that as well. But that's awesome you had Kaufman on. I didn't know that until this conversation. I mean, so I respect people who are willing to talk to some, like, be able to entertain. That's also a quote, like, it being able to entertain an idea without, you know, necessarily agreeing, also butchering it. But that's really great to see. And I don't know, you've been really generous with your time, man. And so I'm gonna link all your stuff below in the description, but why don't you just tell people, you know, what you're doing and where to find you online.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to add one last point that jumped to my mind that really is an obvious example of how bad and what an obvious deceptive way we are right now, that the world. So the idea has been this whole time that you can't challenge World Health Organization guidelines. Right. And then even though they continue to kind of flounder back and forth and different things. And so you can get in situations already where you ended up being right and they censored you anyway, and they don't go back and bring you back when that happens. But this is the best part, that we've been saying, you can't challenge them. You can't challenge them. And they keep defending that. And then all of a sudden, one of the leading individuals on the panel that are deciding these guidelines speaks up and says, well, we shouldn't be doing lockdowns like you are. And they all attack that guy. Hypocrites, right? So you're going to attack the World Health. You just told us we're not allowed to challenge him, but apparently you guys are, when he doesn't go along with what the media decides is allowable. I mean, think about how incredible that is. You know, this is where we are. And this is a very dangerous time where it's not the experts even controlling the conversation, it appears. These experts are controlled by whatever entity is driving this bus. You know, the consensus out there is the people that are trying to speak up and tell you, and they're being knocked down and attacked, and channels like ours are being censored for simply going, here's some experts that disagree. I guess that's not allowed today. You know, it's crazy.
I know we're out of time, but I do have one final question from the chat, because it's like about that. Okay, so I've brought up like humiliation ritual and like the people in power wanting to see like the sheep complying. It says, ask him if he thinks that the masks are meant as a visual confirmation of the scam's success. Like, do you think the people up there are like wanting to see compliance on a visual level?
Yeah, well, that's totally. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't speak to that and know for sure. But yeah. That makes perfect sense to me. But I would argue what somebody just said the other day, or maybe this was even last night, that ultimately it boils down to keeping us in that mindset, right? Because if you go outside right now and you're not around people, the world looks normal like it does, right? Sun's out, birds are chirping, things seem fine. But when you go out to a mall all of a sudden and most people are covering their masks and avoiding everybody, you remember where you are. We're in a pandemic, right? Don't forget, you're in danger all the time, even though that's not actually true. We didn't even get into that. The idea of the mortality rate, the infection fatality rate is aligning with the flu at this point, even on the CDC's website. That's a fact, right? I mean, that's incredible. But yeah, they want us to keep feeling like we're in this. That's why the media keeps hyping this up. It's constant scaremongering, hyping up numbers in specific areas, because they know if they report the entire national numbers, we're continuing to go down, right? That is a straight up lie, you know? So I think it's a part of what that person was saying, but I think they, to a degree, are kind of getting an assessment of how much they can control our opinion, you know? I mean, there's even that kind of abstract discussion that there are masks that are made that have like RFID chips and things in them. I'm not arguing that those are being mass produced and everyone has one, but realize where this could be going, you know, as that's the case, as they're talking about contact tracing and injectable biosensors and all this biomedicine. Monsef Salawi, who is the leader of Operation Warp Speed, is outspoken about injectable biomedicine. And he, and as well as Matt Hepburn, who is leading the vaccine part of Operation Warp Speed, he is a leader of the Profusa injectable chip. But sure, that's not what's going to happen. That's all conspiracy theory, right?
Wow.
Crazy.
Well, man, thank you for being generous with your time. And I'd love to have you back on if you're down, and keep doing the good work. And I don't know if you're going to get your channel back or like get a backup channel, but I'll spread it around, whatever you decide to do. Okay.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Keep in touch. Send me your email. Let's definitely do it again. I really enjoyed this. And for what you said before, if anybody wants to find this, just I recommend going to thelastamericanvagabond.com or subscribe to our podcast on the website. That's the best two things to do. And I guess I would argue that right now, BitChute would be the best place to go. But Rockfin, Brighteon, 3Speak, DLive, I mean, you name it. But you know, if we want to try to funnel, let's just say BitChute for today. BitChute, cool. Last American Vagabond.
All right, so thanks for having me on, brother. I'll link that in the show description. We're going to keep streaming. So thanks for coming on, Ryan. Appreciate it,
man. Have a good one, brother. Thanks, guys. All
right, take care, man. Peace. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. Going to keep it going for a little bit. Just going to throw in a quick song. Throw in a quick song. We'll see what's going on. That was awesome. Oh, why is the PC output not going through? Oh, I see. Oh, that's very, very interesting. Oh, I see what it is. So what's good, y'all? That was a fun stream. Decompressing. We go for another 5 minutes. Transhumanism, biosecurity, technocracy. That was a good one. Good interview. That'll get uploaded as a podcast in a couple days. Not sure if you guys want to talk about anything. Oof. Yeah, he's a good guy. Last American Vagabond, yo. Where is this at? Oh, here's what I wanted to do. Google Chrome. I want to watch a little bit more of this one.
Different perspectives. Like I always say, we're using their information to show you the narrative that they have is false. Doesn't mean we're endorsing what they're saying every time. But that's just incredible to me, right? I mean, this is the article showing how on Twitter's additional information was censored. And that's what we're getting to. American neurodiologist Dr. Scott Atlas, who has been a part of the White House coronavirus task force since August. I mean, look, if anybody should be allowed to speak on coronavirus, you would think it would be people involved in the task force, right? I mean, it doesn't mean you should listen to them or that they're correct, but it just seems like a very obvious either way to make us listen to what he's saying, which is something that they do a lot. Censorship does not automatically equate to they're telling the truth. That's the most basic manipulation there is. That's something that Q can't get around, right? Just because it's censored doesn't mean that it's real. But he is, and it's interesting to see that it shows you that they're willing to censor even at that level. He has been occasionally spotted in public not wearing personal protective equipment, which, again, I don't agree that he should have to.
Yeah, these people are such hypocrites, man. I don't think anyone should have to, but, you know, it's... Well, we saw Lindsay. Remember the other day I was like, Lindsay, little ditty about Lindsay and Diane. Two politicians doing the best they can.
But I do also think...
Lindsay gonna be a sodomist, aha. Diane Feinstein driving around a Chinaman's car. Remember that?
It's pretty dumb that one of the leading health officials is not doing so while they're allowing people anywhere in this country to be arrested for not doing so. That's disgusting, right? That makes them hypocrites. They're complicit. They're not doing what they should in stopping unconstitutional actions that are violating the rights of Americans, which are the obligation of the President of the United States. But regardless, he hasn't been wearing it. Which, again, I agree with, that you should have the right to do it or not, despite relevant recommendations from U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You're right, except that they said not to at first and then changed it. So which one do we listen to, right? This is what they want you to. Twitter marked a post from the White House health advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, where he questioned the utility of mask wearing as being in violation of the company's policies, effectively banning the tweet. So, right, so a member of the coronavirus task force can step up and say, or not even say not to, but just offer up some discussion points, wondering whether or not they should be because of all the other people that have said that they're not necessarily what we should be doing. And they delete it. Twitter does, right? Because Twitter's the arbiter of what's true in the world, right?
Dude, Twitter's the leading global health authority,
right?
I can't believe it, man. Is the New York Post still not having, like... Dude, by the way, you know how we were talking about the Christian stuff at the end? During the stream, Pope Francis calls for civil unions for same-sex couples. This happened while we were talking about that. Gay! Passage of civil unions for same-sex couples. I don't know. I can't believe how hard Twitter clamped down on this this one. That was a good stream, man. I like the vibe more of getting them on air while I'm already streaming and then streaming after. Gonna talk trash about them. Just kidding, Ryan. That was awesome. All right, so what are we doing? New York Post. And they're shadow banned too. You can't even search for them. Wow. AIDS Mobile. Yeah. I don't think people like us. I don't know. We've talked about it before. I mean, I don't think you can call, I don't disagree with him on what he's saying about the political system. What I do disagree with him on is that, that they're literally the same. If they're literally the same, that's not a proper use of the word literal because they are not the same. Now, are you saying, is everything going to even out in the long run? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how to score that. So I don't know. I don't think we disagree on Trump. I think that we disagree on what to do with it and the manifestation of how much it matters. That's really what it is to me. It's how much it matters and the priority scheme. Yeah. Oh, he's retweeting us live. Wonder if he's watching. Kind of miss going on YouTube. Discord messages. I was thinking, let's go with the chat. I was thinking about it a bit more, and I think it's kind of like divorce in the New Testament, if you get me, but not really optimal. Interesting. Earthly kingship in the Old Testament. Let's talk about it. Yep. I just don't believe. Now, it's a civil union, you know. People were making the argument, we're talking about the Catholic thing now, or about the Pope thing, is that, you know, if it's a civil union, that's not of the institution of Catholicism, so that isn't marriage. I just don't like it for the culture. You know what I mean? Anywho, let's keep watching this.
Well, apparently.
Oh, let's go from civil unions and Pope Francis back to COVID-19.
Twitter and YouTube, but whoever's guiding their direction, seem to be driving this bus. Does that make sense to anybody? Hopefully not. The post in question provided a link to the article from the American Institute for Economic Research, which we're going to look at next. And here's his tweet. Masked work? No. That's his statement, his question, his statement. And then there is an element, LA,
there is an element of this, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about what the people in power say. I mean, the people in power, even if they don't mean what they say, they have to play ball, you know? So, but I believe that even engaging them on like whether it works or not. So I'm not talking about the journalism. I'm talking about what Scott Attilas is saying. I mean, it's his job to say whether masks work, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, even sort of, you know, at what level can you just be like, listen, even if your masks are the best masks ever, you can't clamp us down. Like, your science doesn't matter. So it's like almost like playing with the ball, playing ball with the science at a certain point is acknowledging that the science could say at a certain point that government owns your ass to stay inside. And I disagree with that premise from the government. You know, that's how me and the government disagree.
Miami, Hawaii, Alabama, France, Philippines, UK, Spain, Israel, saying that they don't work. World Health Organization, quote, widespread use not supported. Many harms. That's from the World Health Organization. And again, Oxford, they say, quote, despite decades, considerable uncertainty of their value. CDC, no sign of reducing influenza transmission. Right, so that's all of that's factual. He didn't say. I mean, look, I'm not even going to try to equivocate. What the point is that he, as a medical professional, as well as someone on the coronavirus task force, right, as well as just a free human being, should have the right to say whatever the hell he wants about what he's doing, especially a doctor on this task force. So Twitter is apparently has a higher standing in regard to medical discussions and medical advice and information in the world than the leading health professional in the coronavirus task force. How does that make sense? I'm not even saying I endorse what Scott Atlas has to say. I'm just simply saying that Twitter is clearly showing you that they have a higher standing, a higher decision maker. They're higher on the decision tree than even Scott Atlas.
And this is what people like The Last American Vagabond are really, really good at. I've been talking about it. It's like a sorting mechanism where he's like talking about like who ranks each other and stuff like that. And not all power ranks each other evenly on a different day. It might be a different day, different rank, but at the end of the day, there is a rank. So that's why I think it's like to say that like Trump and Biden are the same, it kind of violates like principles of hierarchy or whatever, even if one's 51% and one is 49, but it doesn't matter. That's like not that important of a discussion to be had between me and Ryan. It's not that important. What are you doing is the important discussion. And like, clearly this guy, The Last American Vagabond, has a great body of work. He's been doing it for a long time. And this man is a sleuth. He's been sleuthing into the documents. Joe, come on, Joe, show me the documents.
That's really unnerving. There's really no way to look at this any different. And here is the article we're going to look at and probably be censored for doing so. The American Institute for Economic Research. Oh, what a conspiracy rag, right? Now it says 2020 is a year of disguises. Dude, some examples include computers.
Yeah, exactly. Nephilim says the psychological anger is growing because of masks. That's a cost also. 100%. It's not good for culture to see not smiles. It's not good to see people under control. It's not good. It's not good.
Models.
I've been saying, even if there's poop particles flying through the air, even if we're swimming through a sewer, it's your right to see a smile covered in poop.
Modelers disguised as science. Scientists. Uh-oh, can't say that, right? Tyrants, dictators, totalitarians disguised as elected officials. Propaganda machines disguised as news sources. Brainwashing disguised as information.
Yeah, brainwashing is for sure on that, yeah. And, you know, these people don't care about their own rules, and this whole thing is such a joke.
Censorship disguised as public health safeguard. Panic and fear disguised as social responsibility. Gosh, if there's one paragraph that on the head about where we are. I mean, that should be embroidered across everything. I mean, that's exactly what's happening across the board. From the American Institute of Economic Research, even the virus itself, they say, has been disguised by humans. Now, again, this is not to suggest that I'm blindly endorsing what they're saying. I happen to agree with most of what they're saying. The point is just to recognize how many examples from even areas that they would otherwise point to if they were saying what they wanted that are now suddenly on the fringe weirdo conspiracy point, right? Remember, they want you to believe this is one fringe doctor and a bunch of weirdos on YouTube making some ridiculous claims that are anti-science. when we're literally staring at governments, medical professionals, Nobel laureate. I mean, you just across the board.
Yeah, that's one of the most ridiculous points that I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous things that these people do that YouTube is doing, specifically YouTube and other organizations as well. You can get your channel nuked in a strike for speaking out against the WHO. The WHO changes their mind all the time. So it's like, at which point, at right now? And do I have to update my videos when they change their mind? It's really draconian, nonspecific, and basically retarded. And they're not retarded. They know that they make the rule retarded and cloudy so they can nuke people. And it's also, it's a fear mechanism because they don't nuke everybody. They'll nuke, their certain percentage, and they'll have you living in fear or whatever. That's why I don't censor. I just say whatever I want. If I get nuked, I get nuked. Seems like Ryan has the same thing. He just talks about what he wants. Good on him.
Single kind of person that they would otherwise be screaming that you need to listen to. How do you rectify that? Well, they don't. That's the point. They ignore it and they censor it. Even the virus itself has been disguised by humans as an apocalypse. But the last part is not the doing of the virus, but the doings of select number of humans who are responsible for many of the other disguises as well. I love that. Not just about COVID, but just all of this stuff. And if you look at the totality of events in 2020, it is clear that the average citizen has been treated generally less than human, certainly not as adults in any case. Now, virus, what are we dealing with? It says my doctoral degree. Oh, and by the way, just so you can see this guy first, who's writing the article? Roger K.
Coop's particles.
Coop's holds
Coop particles.
PhD in chemistry. Right? What a fringe anti-science conspiracy.
California Riverside in the house.
Conspiracy theorist.
I wonder if he owns the Halloween home.
Master and bachelor degrees from Western Washington University. He worked in a pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry.
Yeah, that's not exactly like an Alex Jones type. He's bona fides. Yeah, let's go until after he's done with this article. Is the whole thing going through this one article? Deep dives, man. I respect people that do this. I just don't do it.
I mean, this is a disaster, guys. I mean, I'd even take that back and say it's not a disaster.
Yeah, what's up with the Sweden thing? Someone has to be wrong. I know zero people that think Sweden is just doing okay. I'm not well read on this stuff. I don't really believe I don't believe you on the whole COVID thing. But no one is a Sweden centrist. Everyone thinks Sweden is doing great or they're getting destroyed. And so someone has to be wrong.
It's an orchestrated ruin. Disaster implies like it wasn't planned. It shouldn't be a model for the rest of the world, Time Magazine says. More specifically, Kelly Bjorklund and Andrew Ewing.
Kelly Bjorklund. Dude, that was good comedic timing. Let's go back.
Two people that you should never, ever listen to again.
Here we go.
And you'll see why. Because they are openly lying to you in about every way possible. At the very least, being willfully deceptive and misrepresenting the reality. Now, it says, and this, I love how this is the way it starts. So this is their big thing. Not they're saying we predict or this or that. It is a disaster. It shouldn't be the model.
Depends on
and
what you
says, well, at this point, we can predict. I love that it starts out that way. They're almost certain to result in a net failure. Oh, so it's not a net failure and suffering? Yeah, okay. But you predict that's what will happen. Cool time. I love that you're making a broad assumption and then just stating that as a matter of fact in your headline, because that's good journalism, right? Now, it says a study published October 12th in the Journal of American Medical Association. And I have the other one up there. It says Sweden and the U.S. essentially make up a category of two. They are the only countries with high overall mortality rates that have failed to rapidly reduce those numbers.
Exactly. Now do immigration. Exactly.
As the pandemic has progressed. But you see, first of all,
we're talking about
overall mortality rates, and then we're talking about the fact that this is a country that is smaller, a country that has not shut down its economy, and a country that has allowed its people to continue about their free lives.
Well, you know, these Swedish scientists are doing a rebuttal. Did you know this? I'll find it in a second.
That cannot be overstated. I would be willing to bet everything right now that most of the people that are truly suffering in the United States would have hands down taken the opportunity for a little more of a dangerous path forward to not have to be in this position, to not have to completely rely on the government for food.
All right, here's their rebuttal. So I don't want to be unfair. I don't want to be unfair to our Swedish, because they have a mainstream as well. Guys, now don't ridicule them. Listen to their arguments. Wait. See, mass work, dude. That's how they test the vaccines. That's part of it. That was the masks. Yeah, guys. Yo, if you're gonna hate, refute it. Refute his points, guys. Dude, it's Pepe. That's the cure, guys. We found the cure.
For your family. I'm pretty sure they would prefer that.
Shorting Flergenbergen.
But of course, we have to remember that all these numbers are based on faulty PCR tests and medical information that's been distorted, lied, profit motives for any number of different scenarios that as a matter of fact, these numbers are at very least not accurate. To what degree, as usual, that's debatable. But we know, as a matter of fact, they're not accurate. Even the mainstream groups are now saying this. But they're not, of course, they're making it a very small reality instead of the very all-encompassing reality that it is. But of course, it's funny how they lump these two in and say essentially these two are the ones, and then go on to go after Sweden for the entire article and never make another comparison to how most of the things they're laying out about Sweden are far, far, far better than the United States as well as most other places. But we'll get to this graphic and things in a minute. It says, yet the architects of the Swedish plan are selling it as a success to the rest of the world.
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth, actually. Eerie Fairy says, sounds like the debates. Yes. I'm sorry it's sped up. And if you guys can't understand what they're saying, you gotta just keep up. Trust the scientists, they say. Cool. I just wanted to check the sources. He was talking about Swedish scientists, so.
Why? Because it was a success. Because their economy is still open, and people are still going about their lives, and they are walking around and doing things that they want. Well, you're being forced to wear a mask, can't go to your job, don't have a job, and can't leave your home when they don't tell until you can't, and are being violently arrested if you challenge any of these things, and your freedoms are being taken away in every possible way. But yeah, they failed, right? It says, and officials in other countries, including at the top levels of the United States government, are discussing the strategy as one to emulate. Just by the way, that's incredibly not true. I mean, there have been people that have talked about it, but to pretend that the U.S. in any way is discussing going that route, that they're actually seemingly going that route, is just obviously not true. Are discussing the strategy, and that's my opinion, and discussing the strategy as one to emulate, despite the reality that doing so will almost certainly increase the rates of death and misery. Oh, okay, time. I love how you just make that claim. By the way, don't expect them to follow that up with verifying claims of why that will almost certainly do so. You see, what they're doing is they're taking the safe, the comfortable, agreed upon realities that aren't actually verified. right? The fact that lockdowns work, the fact that masks will save your life, the fact that this thing is the biggest coronavirus death of all time, or that we're in a biggest pandemic we've ever seen in our lives, right? These things aren't true. None of them are. To varying degrees, there's falsities in all of that. But you're within the mainstream media, within the government circles, within all of this, it's safe to say so. You can come out and make the argument that lockdowns work, and if you argue that, you're a fake news conspiracy theorist, and you'll be cheered on by all of them. It doesn't matter about facts or evidence, because that's an agreed upon safe comment. So when they're saying that it'll almost certainly increase the rate, well, there's no evidence to back that up. And in fact, the evidence is countering exactly that. The literal evidence of Sweden is countering that as they make this argument. I mean, how stupid is that? It'll almost certainly increase the death and misery. Didn't this first time, but I'm sure it will the second time, though. Good job, time. Countries that locked down early and or used extensive tests and tracing, including Denmark, Finland, Norway, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Vietnam, and New Zealand, saved lives and limited damage to their economies. Not true, by the way.
Okay, folks, we have a caller. We have a caller. We're going to see if this works. Can you just say hello?
Hey, it's...
Yes. McConnell. Yeah, it works. Okay, so we have McConnell smuggles coke in the house. He's all rights reserved. He's a regular in the live chat, and we were just watching a video by the Last American Vagabond. But now McConnell says that he has some fresh gravy. So McConnell, ladle us some gravy.
Yeah, you gotta throw everything you're doing right now aside, and there's a Crow 777. A Crow 777 podcast number 259, where he's talking about affidavits. And whenever you get, the government tries to, or state or something, they give you a notice or something, you return to them an affidavit that says that you are basically reserving your rights and, you got to, listen to the podcast.
Okay. Just real quick, I'm going to ask you to say the name of the podcast and the creator again. But just before we get into this, can you give the people just a little bit of background on what the sovereign citizen admiralty law thing is? Because we do have some new people in the chat.
Okay, so basically the podcast is Crow 777 Radio with 2RCRROW. The podcast number is 259, and the title is Affidavit, A Written Oath of Truth, Don't Forget the Witness.
Okay.
He had another one, I think 240 something, where he had a different guy talk about this as well. I tried it actually personally, and I so far it's worked. So I don't know, if I go back home. Yeah, I had an inspector give me a notice, and I read the notice, and after listening to all this stuff, your eyes open up and you see things that are there that aren't there before, right?
Hmm.
And so, on the right side, it said, inspector, blah, 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 from this county, and on the right side, it had the mayor's name. So then if you look at any legal contract, that basically means that the creditor is inspector and the debtor is the mayor, yet it's mailed to me. And then it was a worksite violation, blah, blah, blah. And then I gave him back a writing saying, give me a sworn. And this is before I listened to this podcast.
This is before the podcast.
Yeah, but this podcast kind of explains the process a lot better and some things you should add. But I basically had him, I wrote give me a sworn affidavit. Let me see if I could pull it up on my computer. I might have it somewhere.
What's admiralty law, man? Tell the people.
Oh, I don't know too much about that, but basically, the way it works is...
We're under admiralty law right now, right?
Something like that, or martial law, or basically when you respond to a name, you're assuming that you're property of the corporation that is, examining you in terms of, I have no experience in this. I'm just saying what I understand. Mm-hmm. So you should listen to this, re-listen to it, and think 10 times. But it's basically if somebody's, if a, you get your names in all caps, they're trying to establish that you are a member of their corporation and that you fall under their jurisdiction, so you have to accept their, like, laws. But if you start the whole process by giving them an affidavit that you are, you know, a man, a living vessel, you know, like all that. Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't write that, but that's just a joke.
Yeah.
But if you claim under affidavit that, and an affidavit basically means that it is your truth on the matter, and to match an affidavit, they must respond with an affidavit. And so chances are they're not going to respond with an affidavit because then they're also personally liable.
All right, real quick, and guys, in the live chat, are you following what this guy is saying? Because I am on like a B minus level right now. Like I'm not, like I don't. Okay, so just for a little background, everybody, me and McConnell went to Tennessee together, and we're, you know, McConnell was staunchly trying to fight the mask stuff, and during this couple days together, we were he was looking up like how to fight this stuff and printing out different things. My common argument with McConnell was, what if they just throw your ass up out of there? And
you mean more like out of the court?
Well, I'm actually just talking to the people right now. You know everything that I'm talking about. I'm just giving them the background on me and your discussions on these matters, you know. But now let's go to what you're talking about. So the equivalent of what I'm talking about would be they say no. They say you are wrong. You are not the living vessel. You are this person that was born, and you are going to jail. like that's what I counter with.
Look, that's why the first rule of all of this is avoid going to that system as much as possible.
Yeah, you know? It's about power. That's my argument. I'm like, they're like, all right, bitch boy. Like,
it depends on like what it is.
Yeah.
Like if you did something bad, you know, like you can't use, like this is all kind of biblical and godly in some way where that's where they're deriving. You know, your rights are God-given and that's established.
Mm.
So, you know,
you hope.
You can't use God-given rights and then use the abuse system to get away with murder. Mm. You know? So I think like as long as you're innocent and you're not also challenging like the mob's control of some system, like let's say you're not trying to target like construction infrastructure on interstate road paving, you know, like, yeah, you know, that's like mob control. You're gonna get fucked. So as long as you're just doing you, I don't think that can happen. In the worst case scenario, a traffic ticket would be a fine. Right.
Mm.
It's not gonna be.
So yeah, okay. So let me explain it a little bit more. Like on your birth, and I don't know who is the choir right now. If I'm preaching to the choir, I'm assuming that I know more than some people about this Admiralty Law thing. But I know a lot of people don't know. A lot of people are really, really woke on it. But they're saying that like here's my other question before I even get into that. If you have these capital letters, like if your name is spelled out in these capital letters, you're a part of this Admiralty Law, correct? Am I right?
I think what happens is if you accept it or something, then like if you get a letter in the mail with your names in all caps, they're treating you as if you are a property.
Yeah, you're like in a shipping container.
Yeah.
Because you're birthed through the canal. And like that's what these people talk about. Like everything is from like shipping perspective. But Jeffy Time says, sovereign citizen thinks he has rights. Click here to watch him get owned. So you're gonna try to put this into practice?
You can't say sovereign citizen, right?
Because no, you can't. Sovereign. That's the whole thing. That's what I was. You have to trademark it. All rights reserved.
I'm not an expert by any means, but the most I've done so far is. They attempted to get a violation on me. Like, I mean, if you give me, like, you know, 15 minutes, I can find the flash drive and what I sent back. But yeah. It was basically a document that said the inspector of the county, and this is a very corrupt county, in New Jersey, so he's trying to find a violation on the property, and he's saying that, you know, everything I read literally, so it said work site to address.
Yeah.
And then it said, like, later on, it said, violation, this property is not, it's a junkyard use. It's being used as a junkyard.
What is this terminology, man?
Right?
This is so weird, man. The thing that they do with words, dude.
He quoted the law that he has to cite because he, you know, he is inspecting according to that. So I wrote back to him, you know, give me an affidavit that you have an authority to establish, you know, summon me or provide fees. I wrote, show me where you have the, and it said there was no entry, entry was denied. I said, show me where you have the authority to conduct an inspection without entry given. And I wrote a bunch of other things. And I specifically wrote, how is this a junkyard? You are claiming this is a junkyard. Show me, like, where it is approved as a junkyard, right? You know, like, so, like, I haven't seen a letter yet.
All right, so, So I own, I mean, I know that you have experience in like owning a business and like licensing and stuff. Are you saying they're licensed as a junkyard? Like as far as certificate of occupancy or it said it somewhere else in like, do you mean like
that's
they're.
That's what I'm assuming. Like, you know, I basically gave back to him a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Right? And then I said, I'm willing to address this matter, but explain to me how this is a junkyard. And how this doesn't fall specifically under if you and then this is the craziest part. I looked up the code that you quoted, and like it's like A, single family resident, B, you know something, and then D was like essential services.
Hmm.
And then you look up essential services, basically means anything.
Yeah,
anything is an essential service. Literally, like you know, they have like 10 different categories, and by the time you get to the seventh one, it's like. Is this, like, existable? Like, does this involve money?
Dude.
Is this, like, anything? Well, you know, by the time you get to the end of it.
Did you just watch my interview with The Last American Vagabond? It just happened 20 minutes ago?
No.
Dude, he was talking about exactly what you're talking about, how, like, the system... The language, it was one of the first things in the interview we talked about, where, like, the language of the system itself, like, it can always go any... way because the other side's gonna make a case, you know. It's like almost, it's like it's such a non-truthful system.
Yeah,
like it never has like absolute truth. You what?
I think they do it on purpose, and there's a benefit to it.
He said the same thing. Brian said the same thing. Yeah. He's like, there is a benefit to it as well.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Like when I was reading these executive orders, coronavirus, like first, literally, like the first one in New Jersey, it started off as, if you have difficulty breathing, you don't have to wear a mask. And then you shouldn't be wearing a surgical N95 mask, which is a violation of the order. Then the next order, like, removed that, and then it added if you feel that your individual health is at risk wearing a mask, or if you find that your individual safety is at risk. And then it later on said that, you know, later on by the time, like the third or fifth time they're addressing the reopening of businesses, it was like all these previous executive orders plus this new one, which now has a paragraph that says a business can't ask for proof that you have a medical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask. And then if you read, you know, and then that basically means that, you know, then that falls under Disabilities Act and things like that. But, you know, I mean, this is where you need to have more literate people. And by literate, I mean people who've actually read things and that have the balls to just say.
Yeah,
no.
balls to speak up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I've been saying for a while. If I were ever to like get a media company or whatever going, you know, like I definitely am of the camp like balls to speak up. But I am like pretty legally illiterate, you know. So it's like you need like the 1-2 punch because very few people, you know, who's a person you can think of that you're talking about like that, like someone who's like good with the law but also has the balls to speak up. It isn't like a dirtbag.
So far with this stuff, I've had Tom Barnett was one of the first guys that started the website where he said he learned things from. I don't know, like this guy from Australia, there's a guy, just Solution Empowerment.
I mean with the COVID stuff too. Like, what was that guy's name? David Martin? Do you still like him?
Oh, yeah. David Martin was a pretty good one where he made his own legal argument that he served the governors. And this is the other thing, though, is like when they do these big, big things, like coronavirus is a very big thing and so many people know it's bullshit and they're overstepping their rights. But if you know how to serve the, like, give the people in charge a notice, then you have a legal case to get money from them. And the way they're playing the scales is, hey, we're going to funnel $300 billion. If one guy comes at me with a lawsuit and he has the balls to do it, okay, he's going to get $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. You know, like, I think they always have, you know, they know what they're doing is, like, in one way, they do play an honorable game, I believe. But it also, I don't know, I mean, that maybe that's idealistic of me that they're honorable in their crimes that they're committing, but, you know, whether or not they are, there's a system that you in place that I think that if you try to educate yourself and give it, you know, effort, I think it could be learned.
Yeah. But you need some, like, sacrificial lambs, yo. You know what I mean? Like, you need people that can, like, fall on the sword and take, you know, take the first arrow. We're over at Tom Barnett's website right now, Solutions Empowerment. Yeah. Cool, man.
His website, and I think he makes it very clear. It's just the website that he uses.
.org. So, yeah, we're not. Yeah.
I think, so 259 is the one that I just listened to. So Crow had a second hour where he doesn't do it on the free podcast where he really goes into things. So, I mean, Crow 777 is, I think, one of the better people that I've subscribed to because his thing is specifically focused on the topic and...
Yeah. Topic specific every week, and it's with a person who knows something about it. And the first hour is free, and the second hour is behind the paywall. And they're actually pretty cool about divulging the most important stuff in the first hour. You know, they don't try to like be like these people with book deals. They're like, oh, name your sources. Well, you'll have to buy it for $17.99 on Amazon in 3 years. Like, oh, well, that does nothing now, but they're pretty cool about that. Cool, man. We're going to let you go. Do you want anything you want to plug?
I mean, I'm still working on my website, but I think when I get that further down the road, I will plug it.
Yeah. Is it still called this? Like, is it up or is it like disabled?
Oh, it's still up. Insanelyboar.com. But the main thing is if you click on Rabbit Hole, I create a little application to help us, conspiracy, people like, you know, I want that place to kind of have the thing where everything points to show the interconnectivity of all of this. But it's, you know, the programming part, the application's done. I'm trying to make it look visually better so normies can get mesmerized to keep them entertained long enough to interact with it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, so people check out, so Mitch McConnell smuggles coke is him in the chat. I know we got some new people, we'll say hi next time you come around, but, we'll check out that Crow 777 thing and, insanelyboard.com. And, I don't know, man, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Peace. Mitt in the house in the hizzy, everybody. Quick song. I got to go pretty soon. Thanks to all the new people. It's good seeing the new folks here. So I stream almost every day, by the way. What can we do? Can we do... this is always my favorite. Always my favorite. Okay. 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. That was awesome, Evan Ryan from The Last American Vagabond on. good call from Mitt. Going to do more calls going forward. So if you guys ever want to do that, exchange information. You know, me and McConnell went on a trip together, so we had each other's number. So... if you ever want to call, that's awesome.
La la.
Anything else going on? Yeah, 10 a.m. tomorrow, 10 a.m. Friday, going to D.C. this weekend to stream, and I'm doing the elections from D.C. So do subscribe, do share, all those good things. Right? Da, 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 da. Nephilim Ninja, peace out. Chattasana, take care. Eerie Fairy, thanks for coming. Solutionsempowerment.org. Thank you. Jeffy Time, the artist. SCDHL, peace out. Thanks for coming. Horatius. Yeah, I don't know about the sovereign citizen thing, guys. I don't know if I'm ever going to try it. I ain't trying to go to jail, baby. Yeah, Sparuski, take care. Much love, Jill P. God bless you all. Everybody, have a fantastic afternoon. Thank you for joining us at Call Me Ignorant. Let's have the baby elephant walk play us out. You guys have a blessed afternoon, and don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's what I've said for years.